Oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, yesterday, when the Premier was asked to alleviate the anxiety and concern of thousands of low-income British Columbians, including seniors and persons with disabilities in our province, by ending the clawback and, in fact, confirming the cuts that he made would be restored and made permanent, the Premier said the most unbelievable thing. He said that he would be advocating for that to happen. Well, if that's the case, then just who is in charge over there? Last week, we had the tourism minister say she'll advocate for support for the tourism sector that they desperately need. Roy Schwinn of Tourism Vancouver put it simply when describing the sector's position, and I quote, "The timeline is now. In fact, the timeline is past," end quote. So to the Premier, when will the tourism sector finally receive the financial support that they were promised and so desperately require?
Minister of Tourism, Art, Culture and Sport.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. I did receive the report on December 9th. There are seven key recommendations. When I describe advocating, it's going to work at the cabinet table. Approval needs to go through a process through Treasury. The member opposite knows that as a former member of cabinet, help is on the way, and we will be giving an update soon. I want to acknowledge that the task force went to work quickly. They gave us recommendations.
Member, carry on.
The task force worked around the clock to get us a report, and I am working around the clock with the public service and our team to deliver on those recommendations. Stay tuned, Honourable Member. We will have news coming shortly.
Leader of the Official Opposition, first supplemental.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And it's apparent the task force worked quickly, but apparently the minister and the government can't figure out how to do that. I'm sure the Premier and the Minister have the statistics. These are small businesses. Many of them are family-run. They lost their summer. They lost their fall. And now they're losing their winter. They are in desperate need of support. So for the Minister to suggest she's working around the clock and is advocating, what the sector wants the Minister to do is accept the report, accept the recommendations, and deliver the support that the tourism industry needs. Not just today, they needed it yesterday. This Premier's own task force said the government needs to do, their own task force said this government needs to do a better job of getting the help directly into the hands of the tourism sector. So the minister has the opportunity today to stand up in the legislature and to say yes, to move from advocacy to action. Here's her chance to show the sector that she actually means business.
Minister of Tourism, Arts, Culture and Sport.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. What the member opposite forgot to mention in the question was that we are still in the middle of a global pandemic. Yes. And right now, everyone.
Members, let's hear the answer, please. Members, we heard the question.
The member Minister. Opposite is saying they are desperate. I recognize that. I recognize that this is difficult times for everyone across the province. It is difficult for Dr. Bonnie Henry to deliver a message that we need to flatten our curve and do our part. We are managing that while we take sacrifices. The action for the report, I am moving as quickly as I can with the public service to move on the recommendations. The first recommendation is to match some funds with the work of my colleague behind me, the Minister for Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation. We are working together, and stay tuned, member. News is coming to the industry that I believe they are going to feel very optimistic about.
Great. Member for Richmond North Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tourism operators need the money now. The world is now. They need help to survive into 2021. Established in 2000, Super Vacations is one of the largest tour operators in the province. But the company has had to lay off staff and are down to only two people in their office. The company just renews its Richmond office lease this month and could not seek rental assistance from the landlord nor the government. The owner jokingly says his only task every day is to water the plants. But this is no joke to the man and who faced losing their livelihood. The question is to the Premier. The Premier has a voice in the cabinet, and the tourism minister has a voice in the cabinet, and the job minister has a voice in the cabinet. When will the tourism sector see the promised money?
Minister of Tourism, Arts, Culture and Sport.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. We are working around the clock with the public service. It's not about just reviewing the report. I know that the members opposite are rolling their eyes that we have to review the report. We're reviewing and acting. There are seven key recommendations, and we are working as quickly as possible together. I'm working with my colleague, the Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation, to get results out the door as quickly as possible. We are here in the chamber, and there is good news coming to the sector as soon as possible. Trust me, Honourable Member, there is good news on the way to the sector, but more importantly, I want to go back to the fact that the sector gave us advice, they worked with government, they've given us counsel, they want us to invest in Indigenous tourism. That's the second recommendation. We are listening, we are reviewing, and we are going to act as quickly as possible. Good news to come to the sector in the coming days, Honourable Speaker.
Member for Richmond North Centre and Supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Listening. We have heard that time and time again. Let me try to refresh the minister, the newly appointed minister, about the chronology of the tourism sector's request for help. They submitted a report on 21st of July asking for 680 million. And what do they get? They have to wait 3 months for this government to call a slap election. And a few days before that, they only promised 50 million. So it's not just last week that they submitted the report, the Premier and the Minister. What are the Premier and the Minister waiting for? Tour operators have been begging for months and no assistance has come. The Minister said, wait. But for how long and for what? The next budget? Could the NDP is delaying until May? Again to the Premier, or maybe to the Minister, will he or she stop refusing assistance to the men and women who need it now and start getting the help directly into the hands of these small business owners?
Minister of Tourism, Arts, Culture and Sport.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. I would like to point out to the member opposite, one of the actions that our government has taken was give $10 million in the members' riding to help with tourism while we're going through the pandemic. I'll remind the member that we're trying to support the tourism sector to keep the lights on and the workforce intact. Some of that was to build infrastructure, build some of the space on the outside of their community. Destination development funds went out the door in the middle of this pandemic, not just last week. It's not just talk, it's not just last month, since the beginning of the pandemic. And one of the first actions that we took, Honourable Speaker, was to dedicate $50 million to the task force. We received the report from the task force last week, and we are committed to act on the recommendations. There is good news to come to the sector, but for the member opposite to suggest that we don't care about how hard this is, that is not accurate. We know how hard it is to all of our communities, all across the regions, which is why we've invested in the destination development funds across the province, and there's more to come.
Leader, third party.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. A letter sent yesterday from the Surrey Teachers Association, BC's largest school district, talks about severe overcrowding in classrooms and reads, and I'll quote, "We are not safe. Our daily levels of stress are almost unbearable. Every day we continue to put ourselves, our loved ones, and communities at risk. It is dangerous and unfair to be expected to continue in this way without appropriate measures to ensure our safety. We are not safe." And yet, from government, what teachers hear is, "Don't worry, you should feel safe." Teachers deserve to feel respected. Teachers deserve to feel safe, and they deserve to feel heard by their employer, the government. School communities aren't even afforded clear and consistent information about what is unfolding around them. My questions for you, Honourable Speaker, is to the Minister of Education. The most extensive and up-to-date database about COVID cases in schools is being managed by parents through the BC School COVID Tracker on Facebook, which over 40,000 people turn to for information. Will this government begin providing school communities with comprehensive, clear, and timely data about exposures in BC schools, as is done in other provinces?
Minister of Education.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. I know that we all share concern for what is happening across our school system. Of course, I've seen the letter from the Surrey Teachers Association, and I think there's no question that what's happening for folks and the anxiety reflects the fact that we're in the middle of an unprecedented public health crisis. We have, in fact, been listening to teachers. We've been working with teachers, with support staff, with principals, superintendents, school trustees, parents, all throughout the summer to develop the safety plans that are now in place in our school districts. We continue that work with all of our education partners, including our rights holders. And we have been, our districts have been very responsive to issues as they've arisen on the local terrain. And for example, in Surrey, we've seen the Fraser Health Authority introduce a new notification system to try to be more responsive and acting under the direction of the provincial health officer. We have seen the development of a rapid response team so that health authorities can work more closely and be more responsive with school districts when there are changes or developments in COVID transition in the communities that affect schools. And we'll continue to work with our partners in that regard.
Leader of Third Party and Supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I appreciate the Minister's response and a recognition that there's always work to do to do better in the moment that we're in. We are in this global pandemic. It is impacting everybody. What we are hearing, and I think what the public is seeing, and I know that I expect government is also seeing, is there is still a significant number of teachers who feel that their anxiety levels and their worry and their stress are having health and mental health impacts. It only takes a quick perusal of Twitter or Facebook to see teachers talking about, and I saw one this morning, breaking down into tears at 8:15 in the morning. And this is a significant impact to people's well-being and health. The Tracker's administrator, Kathy Marlis, said on the Mike Smith Show yesterday, "It's been a rough few days. You can see the progression happening over the last couple of weeks. And as Dr. Henry points out, school transmissions often reflect community transmissions. Both have been rising. But it's been a big peak in the last 2 days where we recorded over 50 schools each day, a lot of messages to sift through, a lot of really concerned parents and families. Exposure notices are becoming more and more complicated and confusing." My question again through you, Honourable Speaker, is to the Minister of Education. From Kathy's database, we can see that over 1,500 COVID school exposure notices have been sent out in BC since September, with a significant spike in the last few days. With a growing number of exposure notices, can we expect to see government take additional steps to ensure that teachers and parents can feel more confident in their classrooms?
Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and again, thank you to the member for the question. And I want to acknowledge that I think the work that's being done on the front lines of our education system is nothing short of extraordinary. And the fact that we have 90% of kids who return to the classroom in September, that 80% of those are actually in a seat in a classroom, the fact that we are seeing a good adherence to kids coming to school, showing up at school, is a real testament to the work that everybody is doing across the sector to keep kids in school and to do our utmost to keep them safe. And again, I appreciate the anxiety that is out there. We've invested so far just this fall over $150 million to fund additional teachers, additional counselors, additional custodians, more educational assistance, to invest in the PPE to support the safety plans that have been developed. Obviously, we're watching the numbers very closely. We've had some recent changes to the notification system, particularly in Fraser Health, and we're looking at the impact of how that new notification system is landing. And we're going to be working with our partners, and in fact, our provincial steering committee is meeting this afternoon, and I'm going to be on that call with all of our partners, where we will discuss issues such as this: how are these kinds of processes working, and where do we need to be making adjustments and improvements? And we'll continue to be responsive to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Member for Kamloops South Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Countless tourism operators, restaurants, mom and pop shops have had to make the painful decision to lay off employees and close their doors. And as every day goes by that this government fails to act, regrettably, many more are making this same decision as we speak. Now, Mr. Speaker, the government has had 9 months, not 9 days, not 9 weeks. Government has had 9 months to provide direct supports to these businesses. But instead, delays, red tape, and a snap election have gotten in the way. Now, the other day, the Minister for Jobs and Economic Recovery told this House that only 1,400 businesses had actually made it into the process of applying for the Small and Medium-Sized Business Recovery Grant Program. The minister also at that time failed to acknowledge that this program has been riddled. It's been riddled with restrictive eligibility requirements. So my question to the Premier is this: will he step up, will he fix this flawed program, and will he throw small businesses that lifeline that they need now, not months from now, but now, in order to survive through the coming months?
Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and thank you to the member for the question. And we know that it's a tough time. We know that many small businesses are struggling. This is not a surprise to anyone in this House. I've been listening to small business owners for the last few weeks, giving suggestions on how we can improve our systems, how we can make the program more accessible to additional businesses. It's been really fruitful. I really appreciate their feedback, and we've been acting on that. So what we've done is we've taken the opportunities, the suggestions that have been made by stakeholders, and we've been working with them all last week to make sure that we get it right. And that work continues, and there'll be some positive news on that. But I do want to say to the member, we have one of the most comprehensive plans in Canada. One of the most comprehensive plans in Canada. If you compare us to many of the other provinces, you'll see that we've made significant more investments in supporting small businesses. Honourable member, you'll know that $190 million of tax credits for small businesses to be able to hire new employees, but also bring back employees that they had, $190 million. We also know that just recently, the federal government stepped up with a rent support program for small businesses. And so, the supports are there. We are going to continue to try to make the supports more flexible and make sure that more businesses have an opportunity to access the resources that we have put on the table.
Member for Kamloops South Thompson, supplemental.
Mr. Speaker, 1,400 businesses across the entire province of British Columbia. That's it. That's the total number that have been able to access this particular program, the Small and Medium-Sized Business Recovery Grant Program. Mr. Speaker, many words come to mind when I think of the government's track record on this. You know, pathetic, insufficient, regrettable. I'll go with pathetic as well. The minister needs to own up to a failure of his government's part to actually provide direct supports to small businesses. Now, he says he's talked with small business organizations. He says that he's met with small business organizations. The reality is this, is that very little of the support that his government has announced has actually made its way to small businesses. That's a big problem, Mr. Speaker. And these businesses are closing. They're closing all over the province. And sadly, once that clothing shop that's been open for 25 years closes its doors, Mr. Speaker, it's never coming back. It's hollowing out our downtowns. Now, the government talks about, and the minister just mentioned, tax deferrals. He talks about supports for businesses to hire more people or to purchase new machinery. Businesses can't even consider hiring more people or increasing their payroll or buying new equipment when they can't afford to keep the lights on, with all due respect to the minister. So small businesses really need that direct support. So my question again to the premier is this: how many more small businesses have to fail before this government fixes their flawed business economic recovery programs so all those local pizzerias, those local clothing shops, those local boutiques have the supports that they need in order to stay in business, make it through these months ahead, and come out on the other side stronger than ever before?
Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And again, we know it's a challenging time. I mean, the world is dealing with a pandemic. This is not only a BC problem, this is a problem across the country. We have one of the most comprehensive plans, Honourable Speaker, to support small businesses. We've been supporting them all year. We're going to continue to do that. Recently, a survey came out. Two-thirds of all businesses in BC are getting supports either from the provincial government or the federal government. 98.5% of jobs that we lost from before COVID hit have come back. We're fortunate to see those numbers. We know a lot of those supports that we've brought in as a province has supported that jobs returning. But we also know that there's also challenging times ahead. We understand with the new health restrictions and not being able to have meals with people outside of your household is going to have an impact on families. It's going to have an impact on jobs. It's going to have an impact on restaurants. We know that. So the $300 million grants are available for small businesses. I urge anyone watching today, I urge the members of the opposition as well as the third party to suggest to small businesses that are struggling to apply. We are open. We are open.
Thank you, Mama.
We encourage businesses to continue to apply, and we're going to continue to be nimble. The problems we encountered in March are different than the ones we have in June, are different from the ones in September, and are different now. But we can continue to adjust our programming accordingly, and we will continue to do that, Honourable Member.
Member for Surrey White Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just heard the minister speak about the impacts on restaurants, and I'm going to speak about that too. Yesterday, I spoke with a local restaurant owner, and he's blowing through his life savings right now, trying to stay open. He doesn't think he's going to make it into January. He's been open 25 years. I don't think he's going to make it into January. And what's his government's response? Nothing. Silence. Two campaign commitments, both broken. He's financially broke. But he's not going to qualify for the recovery benefit because it's based on his 2019 tax return. The other promise that was made, a cap on delivery fees charges for restaurants. My question to the Premier, will he keep that promise?
Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery.
Thank you to the member for a second time asking questions in question period. I would say to the member, if he would like, I'm happy to speak to that business owner in his community. I think it'd be great for him to chat and for me to hear the challenges that he's facing. I know that the piece around when businesses were in operation and how they can qualify is an important issue to many small businesses, one that we hope to have positive news on in the coming days. But I would say to the member that we have been nimble all the way through. We want to support as many small businesses in BC as possible, and we're going to continue to do that work.
Member for Surrey White Rock on supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You can be responsible by actually doing what you say you're going to do. You made a commitment October 9th. We also made that commitment. We have followed through on our commitment. I've tabled a bill. And yet nothing. Crickets. This government is sitting on its hands while people are losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihoods. Last week, this premier stood in the House and he proudly said, politics is behind us. Prove it. My question is to the premier. Call the bill.
Minister for Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And again, I'll say to the member, we have one of the most comprehensive small business plans across the country. We continue to provide supports for them.
Members.
If the members would like to hear the answer, maybe they can.
Any further comments from the opposition? No. Minister will continue.
Very hostile bunch today, Honourable Speaker. I'll just say to the member that we did have a commitment. We did make a commitment to bring a 15% cap in. We are committed to that. It's in the mandate letter for the minister. Staff have been meeting with app-based providers. I appreciate the BC Liberals wanting to intervene in the market. I think there's nice to see there's a unity,
members.
No more free market, free enterprise coalition over there. But I will say to the member that this is a serious issue. Staff are in conversations with these app providers about the importance for action. And you'll hear more information in the coming days, member.
Member for West Vancouver, Capilano.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We know that childcare is a concern for parents as they struggle to survive economically during this pandemic. And the lack of childcare impacts women disproportionately and their employment during this time. The NDP made a promise to those parents. They committed to spending an additional $250 million this fiscal year on childcare, but it's not in the bill that you've brought us today. And the government doesn't plan to deliver a budget for an additional 5 months. So to the Premier, where is the money that has been promised to these parents?
Minister of State for Childcare.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I, as a mother myself, I know that many parents in BC and families have really been struggling with early learning and care opportunities, especially during this pandemic. So many families are unable to, struggling with the decision to return to work or to count on the very important childcare services. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank early childhood educators and childcare providers who have been working really hard on the front lines supporting family needs. And our government, ever since 2017, have been starting to work after years and years of neglect of the childcare crisis from the previous government. We have started the work to build an inclusive, universal quality childcare system to BC families. And that includes over three dozens of initiatives to bring down the cost of childcare, to accelerate the creation of spaces, and also to support early childhood educators. And as we've seen how childcare is really key to families, to children, and to the recovery of our economy during this pandemic, we are committed to continue that work. We have rolled out the temporary emergency funding to support childcare providers and families to be able to maintain the services. We have supported childcare providers with an additional $40 million on health and safety grant. And all of our programs are continuing to support, to bring relief to families, to bring down childcare costs, and we will continue that work. Thank you.
Minister.
Member for West Vancouver, Capilano, on supplemental.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. They're quite aspirational. But this is a government that seems unable to deliver for parents now. The representative for children and youth asked the Premier to extend support for families with children and youth with special needs, and that request was denied. And now parents, particularly stressed out moms, are wondering, where is that promised $250 million more for childcare this year? So to the Premier, will this government keep its promise to parents and deliver the money that it promised?
Minister of State for Childcare.
Sorry, I just needed to unmute myself. Thank you, Honorable Speaker, and I thank the member for raising this very important question. But let's remember, we inherited a broken system in 2017, and we have been taking action since day one, since we became government in 2017. We've been
Members, she can't hear you.
We can fund childcare services to bring down the cost of childcare, to accelerate the creation of spaces, and we have been doing that work nonstop since day one, since we became government in 2017. And we will continue that work, and that is why we are the only province in Canada during this pandemic to provide a temporary emergency funding to support providers who are open and who are also closed. We're the only province to support providers who are closed so they can come back and continue to maintain the important services. And we have a lot of work to do, Honorable Speaker, to build an inclusive, universal quality childcare system. And we will continue to do that, whereas the member opposite, when they were in government, ignored the childcare crisis for 16 long years.
The bell ends question period.